Okay, we are now live again. What an exciting day we're having. I don't really know how else to describe it. So, right, we're gonna basically do another little bit of an introduction, I think. So we have Julie Tobin here from Holding On Letting Go.
Hello.
And we have Ryan Grist from Angle Studios.
Hello.
And we have our co-host, Tom, from IT Manager Services.
Hello.
Hello. And welcome again. So we're going to now go, just maybe repeat some of the stuff that we've been through before. So let's hope everyone's listening. What we're going to do is do a little note on our Synergy WhatsApp page to let everyone know that we are going live. And it's a much clearer.
I'd
it's
love
much
to
clearer
have, but
now.
No signal.
Okay, Tom's got no signal. So we're going to go now back to Julie. So Hello. Julie, tell us a little bit about Holding On Letting Go, please, how you got involved.
Okay, well, Holding On Letting Go is a charity that's based in Kent and is sort of set up to help children in Kent and Medway who are dealing with a bereavement that could be a loss of a mother, a father, sibling, grandparent or main caregiver. We also help children who are in stages of pre-bereavement, so maybe mum or dad has been diagnosed with a terminal illness, and we help them deal with that. The idea behind Holding On Letting Go is holding on to the good memories and all the lovely things about the person they've lost while helping them to let go of the grief, the bitterness, the anger, so help them navigate. So essentially, hopefully, that this one tragic act part of their life doesn't define their life in a negative fashion.
So you were saying earlier about young children at school maybe sometimes feeling that they can't smile or laugh because they feel guilty about that.
Well, yeah, I think it's we always get feedback from the children that we help because obviously, you know, as a charity, you have to make sure that what you're doing is effective and if you need to adjust or change things, and the best way of doing that is speaking to the people that you're looking to help. And there was one girl who just said that one of the things she wanted help on is she'd lost a parent and she wanted to have help on how do I get my friends to help me? How do I help my friends to help me? Because when she went back to school and that, she found that nobody was really talking to her. And it's very often because most of us do struggle when we run into somebody who's lost somebody close to them.
Don't know what to say.
You don't know what to say, so you end up saying nothing.
Yeah.
So she wanted to sort of basically find how could she communicate to her friends so they could sort of help her. And also to let them know that when she was laughing, when she was joking, that, you know, life does go on. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't mean there was any sort of less sadness about the loss of a parent. It's just that type of thing. It's teaching children to be able to communicate effectively about how they're feeling when they've gone through something very difficult in their life. And also at our charity, we do work with the parents as well. So very often the children won't be talking to the parents about it because they don't want to be a burden. The parents don't want to talk to the children about it because they don't want to put on the children. And there could be this sort of chasm that sort of grows and has an effect on the relationship and how they deal with things going forward.
I can understand that because it's very difficult as an adult to deal with grief, let alone being a child and having to deal with grief.
It is, yeah. I mean, you know, years ago, as I think I was saying earlier, that when my grandfather passed away, I was 87 and there was no discussion about, you know, your granddad's gone, that's it. And there was no discussion about whether I'd go to the funeral. Now, as a charity, we don't say whether children should or should not go to a funeral, but we do say that there should be some sort of communication and some sort of conversation about it. Very sadly, when I joined this charity 18 months ago as the CEO, my husband's cousin died at the age of 46.
Oh.
And she left behind two young children. And so, rather sadly, I was up a few months in post having to get information for my family. And all they did is they didn't want to go on to one of the courses we do. They just wanted some information. And the main information they wanted was from us how to have to speak to the two children about whether they went to their mother's funeral. And there was that conversation and they did decide to go. Mm. So we do everything from providing sort of information to actually sort of working with children at weekends or sometimes working one-on-one with children. And as I said, sometimes we have to go into schools. There was an incident last year where a pupil drowned. So obviously there's a whole class that have been traumatised by a death because you don't really expect to be dealing with death when you're very young of somebody your age. Let's be honest with you. So that's we work across a range of things within the Kent area.
Mm-hmm. How interesting.
Wow.
And did you apply for the job? How did you?
Yes, I did. Yeah. Well, I was, as I say, I worked at the National Press when I came out of university because I was shallow and I just wanted a glamorous job with a great expense account.
Let's be honest, didn't we all?
And that was as simple as that. So I worked from anywhere from the Guardian to the Daily Mail, and so that was on that. And then I ended up in the charity world. A role I had before was I was made redundant, and I was thinking, well, when I was working for a national charity, and I was thinking, well, I still like to stay in the charity world. And I saw this role, and I'm a Kent girl, came from Kent originally, Planet Thanet, down near Ramsgate, is from whence I originated. And I thought, in this sort of third sector of my career, as it were, I wanted to work for a Kent-based charity to very much do something effective. And I think childhood is incredibly important, and I think helping children in this way to navigate that is I think very good work to be doing.
And we were talking earlier, you were saying about collaborating with other, because I did a post, funnily enough, this morning about
the picture
of Julie.
Yeah, all those charities that belong to Synergy.
Yes, yeah. So what we do is we give, we say to a charity, right, this is yours for as long as you want it. Yeah. So we don't say it's for a year and then you've got to pay or anything like that. It's the charity's space for as long as they want it, as long as they come.
Because
obviously we don't want to be giving someone a space and then they don't ever turn up, because how are they going to get any help? But you're working with some of those other members, aren't you?
Well, I think, yeah. I mean, I met Nancy, who does the Neuro Centre over at Canterbury. If she's listening and I've got the name wrong, apologies. It used to be the MS Centre. And I'm going over to see her premises.
Neurotherapy
Centre. I've also spoken a few times to Julie Stitchbury at 21 Together, which is a charity that helps children with Down syndrome. For me, it's very important to know as many of the charities in Kent as possible, see if there's any areas we can, one, collaborate on, because sometimes you can get joint funding. But also, the funding sector is very hard at the moment. So I think it's very important that we pass on leads and information where possible. For instance, we may have a great partnership with a charity, with a company, but they were charity of the year for a year. So then they'll go on to another charity, quite rightly. So we should be passing that sort of information on. We should be working together. You know, we're all here living in Kent and we want to make the Kent business community thrive, but also the Kent charity sector. It's been very important. It's sort of a hobby horse of mine. If charities disappeared overnight, I always say to people, it's not that you'd suddenly get charged more tax to have those services. You would simply lose those services.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's right.
Yep.
And so I want to sort of have more of a collaboration with any of the charities in Kent.
Mm. Yeah. Well, that's absolutely brilliant.
Yeah.
So it's all, you can hear us. Yay! Yay! It's all out, a little cheer. It's all going really well. And actually, the other thing as well is that I believe my phone's working, because we've had some people ask for a shout out, which is amazing. So we've had Ian Wade say, Kent Workwear have a stock of Easter bunnies and they can be decorated with your logo. And he sent me a really cute picture. Your daughter would like a large bunny. He's laughing. Okay.
How big is this large bunny?
Yeah. It's quite big, look.
Oh. Yeah, fair enough.
It's actually a
obviously
lovely...
that this bit is not good for radio. You cannot see what's going on here.
if you go to the Synergy website, WhatsApp group, you'll probably listen.
Yeah, you can see a bunny.
It's lovely. Oh, so Synergy Easter bunny, maybe get one for my granddaughter. I think my daughter is a bit too big for one of those. Yeah. Don't you?
I don't think many people are too big for teddies.
No. Really?
Yeah.
My husband's got a blue bear. It's about sort of 4 foot high. I hope he's not listening.
All his mates are, though.
And Matt's 50, so.
I used to have my teddy bear until I met my wife, and then she said, you don't need that anymore.
Oh, no.
And it had my little baby grow on it that I used to wear.
Oh, no.
So it tucks in the back of a wardrobe now.
Where is Teddy now?
On some landfill somewhere.
Oh, that's
she actually threw it away.
Shocking.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh! No, if I threw that,
you see the mental scars.
She did ask me, but I think it was that part of our relationship where I was like, I can't
trying to impress her.
I can't really
just say yes.
I'll
be like, no, you leave. The teddy's staying.
I think Matt would pick Baloo over me. I'll be honest. I think I'd be out the door before Baloo Bear.
Love it.
What does your wife do?
My wife is head of science at a school.
Yeah, oh, that makes sense, doesn't it?
And she's a very, very intelligent lady. Mm. I'm not sure how I ended up with her.
Sure.
So she's got a master's in biochemistry from Oxford University.
I'll tell you why, because you've got a creative brain.
Yeah.
Oh, maybe.
That's why.
I was going to say something else, but I don't think I could say that.
She probably loves
I'm good at sales techniques, I think. But no,
Moving on swiftly. Yeah. We need that crackle back on the show, don't we?
Where's that crackle button?
I wish I could tell you the story of how I met Orion first, but I'm not going to go into that.
No, don't do that. No, don't do that. Oh. But I'll tell you one thing, though. We met online, and on our third date, she introduced me to one of her best friends called Helen. And in the pub where we were was this song playing. And I said on the walk out, I said, when we get married, that's going to be our first dance song. And then I thought, oh, yeah, no way, you're getting married. Ended up being our first dance song.
Oh, how lovely.
Yeah. And she loves the song still, 13 years later.
Wow.
And there we go.
Oh, that's a really nice story. How did you meet your wife, Tom?
I was teaching a mountain bike course and she was on a climbing course at the same place.
Wow.
Both active then.
Yeah. So, slightly random. Yeah, I lived in Kent. She lived in Surrey. So it's not as we would ever have crossed paths before.
No.
But yeah.
It's funny, isn't it?
Well, the things are meant to be, aren't they?
Yeah. I wasn't even supposed to be on that course. I had a friend of mine, their instructor had dropped out. And then she messaged me like 2 days before going, can you cover this? And that was it.
Yeah. Wow.
So, yeah.
Yeah, evidence that things are meant to be. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to go to you
now. Is this a business show or a dating show?
Linda's flying back into her previous life.
I know. I do slip back now and then.
Speed dating.
I'm still matching people, but of course I'm matching businesses. What I've quite often said is the reason I love it is because they come back for more. Mm-hmm. But when you match up couples, they go off hand in hand and you never see them again.
That's hope you never see them again.
Well, some of them I did actually.
Yeah. Wrong match.
I know, yeah. Well, they had children. So tell us, Ryan, about your business. I want the listeners to hear about how you put the website together with the CRM and you get that flow going businesses, where that must save so much time. And time is money.
Yeah, so Angle Studios is my branding, graphic design and website business. And what we like to do is ensure that there's synergy across, pardon the pun, but a synergy across all media. So no matter if you've got your branding or your brochures through to your website, it's all intact and it all sort of lines up with each other lines. And in terms of sort of from a tech perspective, it's about streamlining your business. As I said at another time, that when people look at your website as a place to sell, but it can also be a place to streamline, save time, even maybe reduce headcount if you need to, because it's always working for you. So you always need to make sure it looks great. It's always updated. It always says what it reflects what you are as a business. And that's kind of what we help clients with.
Sometimes it's difficult to let people know what your ethos is, isn't it? Mm-hmm. And having that.
Yeah, your vision, your values.
Yeah, have you got that on your website, your vision, your values?
New site, yes. Old site, God, no.
Right, okay.
And that's why it got changed.
When you had to think about your vision, did you sit with your team or did you work out what your vision was?
Well, for us, it all kind of goes back to, I spoke about last time, the reason we started was because it's very much educate. We want to educate our clients. We want people to feel more confident in their systems, confident in what they're doing. So for us, it is very much about being transparent and actually allowing our clients to grow to the point that actually they're more comfortable, they're happier with their day-to-day tech usage.
Mm. And one of the things I've got to say that I found and one of the things I love about being self-employed is I am constantly learning. Mm-hmm. I'm not sometimes in things I want to do. I don't want to learn how to do a website, but sometimes you have to. Yeah. Mm. You have to learn how to do. I'm having to learn how to do the back end of WordPress. Yeah. And it's like,
sometimes it's that having to do something that makes you learn, whereas if you were in a company, you just pass it off to
whoever's
doing it.
Yes, that's right.
And it's amazing how that can actually be quite enjoyable.
It can. You listen to tutorials and you're thinking to yourself, why am I watching this? Why should I be doing this? Because I do actually hand a lot of stuff out to people and say, would you do this? Would you do this? But a lot of it I have to learn myself.
But sometimes having that little bit of knowledge, that little bit of understanding on how certain things work, mean that when you have those conversations with the people you're going to pass it on to, actually you can be communicating in the right way and less likely to be led down a path that's not right for you.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. So do you find that people struggle with the wording on their website when you do wording for them? Because when I was speaking to people from a social media perspective, sometimes I had to really quiz them about their own business because they didn't know how to get it across.
I must admit, we stopped building websites with content a long, long time ago, and that's because content is very personable to that business. But also, everyone that most businesses have a marketing, or if they've got a marketing manager, they can obviously got the time to put that content together. But a lot of businesses don't have the luxury of a marketing manager, and they have to do it as their sort of second line job almost. So when we was building websites and waiting for the content, it could be 6 months before they've actually finalised it. So we can do content for people, add the content in, but it's always a secondary sort of project as a bolt on to the primary project, which was to design and build a website. So
I didn't know you could design and build a website without content.
Well, we design it with
placeholder
content. So we steer how it should be, but obviously we're not their business and we're not experts in their business. So we kind of say this is the sort of the fun or the journey you should take people on through your website. But you need the content for this. And
yeah, no, I did sort of contract work last year because I also do sort of fractional work as well. And I was helping a charity with its new website, and we had the website designer basically do all the functionality, the design and the layout. But obviously we had to provide
the copy, the photos.
And because basically you're having to get your vision across. And, you know, especially when you're a company, a charity, whatever, there's certain words that you'll want to use, there's certain ways that you'll want to present yourself. And I don't think that with respect to any website designer really could.
I mean, from our perspective, there's three types of traffic that come to a website. There's the cold traffic, which are people that don't really know you, got no loyalty with you. You've got the warm traffic. So they may have come to your website once before, or they've spoken to you at a networking group or something like that. And you've got the hot traffic who have maybe spoken to you, seen the website a couple of times and are ready to engage with you. And it's important that you have those three areas covered on your website, because if you're just expecting people to come to your website and then sign up straight away, there's probably a very slim chance that will happen. So, you know, how you can do that is to get people from cold to warm. You can have sort of free downloads to demonstrate your knowledge, expertise in the area, which then obviously collects data as well if you want to. But it's about trying to get them back to the site. So lead magnets are a really good thing, which are really actionable, short, easy to digest pieces of free content that people can download, take action, but it only gets them so far before they have to re-engage with you to take the project.
That's what I'm planning to do on ours. I want to do some lead magnets, definitely. So I need to sit and think about that. Chris, my business partner, says to me, yeah, because you haven't got enough to do, Linda, have you?
Obviously not, Linda.
Yeah, so we do that a lot with our email. So every email we send out has a downloadable guide on it. And every month there's a new guide that goes on that very much will walk a business through an entire process that makes sense for them. They could, I was very careful when I do them, they absolutely could just use them and don't need us. A lot of people will look at it and go, okay, but that's not what I want to do. I haven't got the time to do it. And they will come to us. But I was always very careful. I know you said, obviously, you can lead them so far and stop. I would be frustrated if I was at the other end of that, of getting 90% through and then having to go back to business.
It's about kind of concentrating on what the USP. So for you, it's saving them time. So
Ours is all education, everything. Can
do that, whereas ours is typically like knowledge. So, you know, technical knowledge that sort of prevents them moving forward. Or
What's your role as CEO?
Chief cook and book on
everything.
Bottle washer. I think for myself, it's very much working with the Board of Trustees, making sure that was strategy in place, dealing with the ever-growing pressures of budgets in the charity world. We're a small charity in terms of personnel. We're with a lot of volunteers, and there's a clinical team in place who are very well trained and very experienced in doing what they do. So I take no part in any of the programs of the service delivery, what we do. So I'm very much strategy, networker, making sure that everything is sort of running.
So do you have anything to do with the website, IT, anything like that?
When I can't sign into my computer. And I phone up and the bloke goes, you've forgotten your capital, Julie, which happened yesterday. So yeah, I do. I sort of, when you're sort of a CEO of a charity, you're pretty much involved in everything, mm-hmm. to a lesser or greater extent, depending on the area. So the lesser extent for me is very much the sort of the clinical side, because I'm not trained in that area, but the greater extent would be strategy, marketing, networking, budgets, and all that sort of thing.
The business side of the charity.
Yeah, very much. I've got a business brain, really. Mm. I suppose comes from my shallow days in the press of being in business development. I'm very much a sort of a problem solver. I see in the gap, let's get that sorted. Mm-hmm. And I also like to sort of, I think, talent spot people and go, well, they'd be good at that, and moving them into place, which is why, you know, the clinical team, you know, which is Debbie, Emily and Dawn, backed up by Caroline, they know what they're doing. Mm. They keep me informed with what they're doing. They don't need me giving my less than helpful advice. Do you know what I mean? I do believe you employ a team, try to let everybody know what direction you're going in, and then you let people get on with their jobs.
Absolutely.
I don't micromanage.
No.
I hated it when I was micromanaged, so I don't do that.
No, and I think it's
I don't think many people thrive being micromanaged.
No, I don't. It's just a nightmare. Mm. Yeah.
So do you do work on strategy with your, you must do to a degree, Ryan, work on strategy with your clients?
Yeah, I mean, we work predominantly with manufacturers now. We have been for the last 2 years, but now we're fully in with manufacturers. So as I said earlier, they seem to be quite blinkered in a lot of cases where they've been doing the same thing for many years. So we do like to come in and open the door, open their eyes up to new opportunities, and we show them how they could get there, and timelines around that as well. And the thing is, with manufacturing, it's not normally quite a drawn out process in what they do. But what we can do, we can really speed that up so that, yeah, they get results fast. And how we do that is by picking the low hanging fruit first and getting those quick wins, build that confidence, build that, you know, drive to momentum. And that's what sort of takes it forward, really.
So what sorts of manufacturing companies do you work with?
I mean, at the moment, we've got a vast, we haven't got hundreds of clients, obviously, but we've got some quite big brands from Yo-Yo Design, and the companies that built the Yo-Yos. Their own business is called Flambeau. So they're a US company, and then we work with the UK branch. Got Equine America, who we did some customizations with. We've got, I'm trying to think who else.
So toys.
Equine is a feed manufacturer, horse feed manufacturer.
Yeah. Okay.
And horses and things like that. But we launched Artbin into the UK. So Artbin was sold into Hobbycraft and places like that. And now they now sell themselves.
That's fantastic.
So yeah, that's where we focus, but we really want to push the manufacturing side of things. Mm. And as I said, the integrations, we want to, we feel that's really our strength, because it's stuff that other web companies
don't want to
do, because it's class is boring. It's not the glitzy UX, UI.
It's tech, it's not design.
Yeah, whereas for me, I can, you know, hand it over to one of the guys, one of the project managers, and they get it from A to B with the tech team.
To me, I think that's the future. Mm. I think most people are going to want those integrations.
Yeah.
Because it's really important that everything talks to each other. And you said it in your post on LinkedIn this morning. You said something about it in your post on LinkedIn.
I would have scheduled that about 2 weeks ago.
Oh.
So you saying what I posted this morning.
Or Heather. It was just words. It was no pictures.
That's just
I thought
me,
it was you.
Yeah, if it's just me. If it's just words, it's just me.
Yeah.
But still, I would have scheduled that a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, right. Okay. Well, it was a really interesting post talking about the amount of different tools that we have that we don't necessarily know how to work with them.
Yeah, mm. Yeah. You when you're looking at things like that as well, it's getting rid of that kind of human error of people copying it from system A into system B,
yes.
Which obviously the linking, I'm assuming you're using things like Zapier and Make and stuff like that.
And sometimes they direct integrations, so like APIs.
Proper techie stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I mean, there's different ranges. I mean, at the end of the day, it's budgets talk, yep. Right? So we give people options, but with these larger companies, they don't want it to fail.
No.
And from our perspective, that's good to have clients that rely on us. Mm. So that's what we're trying to do.
And if you can link systems together properly, people get a better use out of those
programs and those tools.
The other thing I'm thinking as well is where we're using different tools, you can see the different ways that they've been put together, and you've got to get used to the way one works, and then suddenly you've got to get used to the way another one works, and then another one works. But by using one designer, it's the same sort of thought process going into each one. So it would be sort of the same using it in the background, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, you've always got to think about the scalability of it. There's no point going for a quick fix. But also being proactive rather than reactive is what I think is also key. So if you're always just going, oh my goodness, I've got this now to deal with, and you keep being reactive, you're not necessarily going to be building the right solution. So
okay. So I'm going to put Jules on the spot now. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to put you on the spot. What strategy are you recommending for the year going forward, or have you recommended?
What, for the charity?
Yes.
Well, we've got a couple of exciting bits of news coming up soon, which I can't talk about.
No spoilers
here. That's really useful. I think very much for us, we're very much focusing on getting out into the community, connecting with businesses. We've launched our 350 for 300 campaign, which is going to be going really live beginning of April, where we're aiming to sort of raise £350 for 300 children. So £350 per 300 children, not the entire, which comes out about 105,000, because that would sort of see a lot of our service covered for the next financial year. And we've broken it down like that to show people that even by contributing as much as £50 or £10 or whatever, every penny really does help in terms of delivering the service that we have for the children of Kent and Medway.
That's brilliant.
That's it. That's what we're doing.
That's really great. And Tom, yes. To you now, what would you say your strategy is for the year ahead?
So for us, it's very much kind of push into more of the education side of things. So I'm doing a lot of public speaking, training courses, writing a new book.
Oh.
Which I don't have time for, but I quite enjoy doing it.
What's it about? Are you going to tell us?
So it's very much aimed at business owners who are either looking at starting to outsource IT for the first time, or potentially trying to work out whether their current provider's the right one for them. So giving them the questions, the things to think about, the things to look at, so they can make the best decision for them. So not a here by my company, here, it's a this is the sorts of things you want to look out for. These are the good things to see. These are the bad things. These are the things that you go, oh, I need to ask a few more questions.
Oh, fantastic. Mm-hmm. I mean, funnily enough, I do the training for Mates Dunbar Accounts and on networking, mastering your networking skills. Mm-hmm. And we've got one coming up again in May. And a lot of people have said to me, you're telling everyone about all the other networking groups. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, well, yeah, because people need to see. So what we do is we do a little exercise on, like, this is what it would be if you were in these meetings, whichever ones they are, BNI, BBM, whichever. You stand up, you do 60 seconds, and I get volunteers to stand up and do that. And then this is what it would be if you were at a chamber event. This is what it would be. And so they're experiencing it.
Find the one that works for them, the style they like.
That's right, in the actual training. So
you have to know, because when you go to networking, it is all different.
Yeah.
And also, I think we really have to get past this stage of competition. We're here to help businesses grow. We're here 100%. To make sure that the charities of Kent also can do their job as well. So sort of trying to tree hug, I don't think really does anybody any good, to be quite honest with you.
No,
I mean, I have found that since we started Synergy that people have been really open to collaboration, which has been really great. I mean, rookie CEO, been brilliant with collaboration. They even actually, I mean, Sam stood up at the one before last and said, who's been to Synergy? Or who hasn't been to Synergy, he said, didn't he? Who hasn't been to Synergy? And then he said to them, well, if you haven't been, you need to go, because it's completely different.
Exactly.
And in a way, they're not trying to make theirs a networking, are they? It's more sort of a training, isn't it?
Yeah, it's guidance. It's that it's kind of very tied to kind of the way the Kent Foundation work, in that whole trying to mentor people, but in bite-sized chunks.
Yeah. I mean, funnily enough, I was thinking about providing a mentoring service, because we've got so much skill within Synergy, and then we have so many startups. And I've seen James Hawkins, look at him. He was a startup when he came to Synergy. Look how he's shining now. So there's a lot of people like that. Lucy, she was a startup as well, wasn't she? So a lot of startups with us, and a lot of established people like Ryan. that, you know, come along. So, Tom, of all the ones you go to, you haven't got to say Synergy. Which do you find the most useful to your business? When you attend.
Depends whether I'm there or not. Obviously, we as a business, whether it's myself or the team, we attend a lot of different networking events. The one that I suppose has been the most successful for us would be the Chamber. Mm-hmm. The work we got out of it and also the contacts we got out of it were amazing. And it's the first one we did. My preference, though, is the style of the slightly more intimate sit-down conversation ones. So more like the Synergy side, the Business Club side, the Entrepreneur Circle side. They're a little more intimate in the way they work. Myself not being a naturally extroverted person, walking into a room of 100 people and going, who am I going to speak to? Slightly interesting. I'm happy to stand at the front and chat to them all.
So are you happy doing your 60 seconds, although you're saying those ones are conversational there?
We still do attend some events that are 60-second pitches.
Pitches.
But I don't really find the pitch that useful.
Because you're sitting in a room. Business Clubs was pitches, is it not?
No.
So they've changed their format.
Yeah, they kind of, there'll be a standard introduce yourself so everyone in the room knows who you are, but then it is round table chatting.
Okay.
So I always find if you're going to the same group of people once a month, whatever it is, if all you're doing, the only sort of interaction you're having is a 60-second pitch, you've heard it once, you're not building that relationship, you're not having those conversations. So I do find relaxed networking better than
I agree. Otherwise, people might just switch off. They might think, actually, no, you're not relevant to me or I don't need your service.
Yeah, you tend to find breakfast clubs are like that.
Yeah, if you get to know people, it may be that somebody doesn't need your service, but they may recommend you on, or you may have a conversation with somebody and think, oh, we'll actually hang about.
That might be good to chat, put you and you together.
Exactly,
So you tend to find evening networking seems to be more relaxed, more conversational. Mm. Breakfast networking is very rigid and structured. And then Chamber kind of sits in the middle of, there's a little bit of structure, but a lot of noise and people. Don't get me wrong, Chamber events are amazing.
Yeah.
Really, really great places to meet other businesses because you will have lots and lots of similar businesses in the same room. And I know I'm always one of those people that if I go to an event and there's another IT person there, I will go and speak to them because there is enough work out there for everyone. What you're trying to offer is not necessarily the same as what they're trying to offer. It's the same at the business show. I went around and I spoke to, I think, almost every one of the other eight IT companies that were there to have a chat.
Okay.
Because actually you can work together, you can collaborate. Things that you're amazing at, they might not be, and vice versa. There'll be some things that, one of the things I can't think of anything worse than doing is cabling buildings, so running network cable throughout them. Where some people love that. Well, we'll work with them and you can actually pass work each way.
Exactly.
What about, have either of you two been to Entrepreneur Circle? I've never been.
No.
So I've heard good stuff. So tell us a bit about that, because we've not spoken about that much on this show.
Yeah, so Entrepreneur Circle is a company based up in Solihull, Birmingham.
Nigel
Botterill.
That's it,
yep. So it's more, it's not a networking organisation per se. It's more of a business help organisation, I suppose the way to put it. So they'll run courses and seminars throughout the year that are all kind of part of your membership to train and give guidance on businesses on how to fix certain issues that might be within the business. And then they have local groups running every single month around the country, which are, you turn up, yes, there's a bit of informal networking at the beginning, and then there'll be actually a workbook that you'll work through while you're there.
Oh, that's good.
So it could be on marketing pillars, it could be on your sort of getting your numbers right and things like that. So there'll be something that's quite useful that you can then run through. There'll be discussions about it. You're working through the book. And it's always in the evening, which is quite nice.
And is there a lead at these things? Is there somebody that runs it?
Yeah, there's always someone. So the one that runs there's a couple that run the Maystone one, which is Liz and Jonathan Bucket.
I thought they'd moved away.
They do. Yep, they live in Berwick-upon-Tweed, but they drive down from effectively the borders of Scotland once a month to come and run it. Because they still enjoy the group.
That's quite a journey.
Yeah.
Wow.
But yeah, they still come down because obviously a lot of their clients are down here. Yeah. I say Jonathan's our business coach. Still a lot of their clients are down here and they enjoy the group. They enjoy that interaction and the conversations that kind of go through it.
Okay. Well, we've still got 15 minutes, but before we go off air, I'd like you all to tell me how we can get hold of you. So I'm just looking at that bunny again because I'm trying to find my camera.
Linda is buying a branded bunny soon.
It looks like I am buying a branded bunny. So, so Tom, if somebody wants help with their IT, how would they get hold of you?
So you can either contact us through LinkedIn or jump onto our website, which is it-ms.co.uk. Or find me on LinkedIn.
And you're mainly looking for schools and accountants, if you were to niche.
So accountants, schools and charities are our primary focus. We do work with a lot of other businesses, but they're the ones that we know inside and out. We can help with all the issues they've got running.
Fantastic. Okay, thanks so much, Tom. So over to you, Julie. So how would everyone get hold of you? I know they can get hold of you on the website if they want use the services.
Obviously the website, I'm holding on lettinggo.org.uk. Also on LinkedIn, Facebook, and I'm also on LinkedIn myself personally as well.
Okay, fantastic. And what about if they wanted to volunteer? Would that still be the same route?
Yeah, it would still be the same route, yeah. I'm always happy to have any conversations with you know, anybody about any volunteering, any help we may be able to give them if they are going through, sadly, a bereavement, or if they actually want to work with us in the capacity of raising funds.
Okay, fantastic. Brilliant. Thanks so much, Julie. And then last but not least, Ryan, is it just one website? How many websites have you got?
So we've got Angle Studios, which is anglestudios.co.uk, which is for manufacturers who need any branding and websites, integrations, or any sort of pop-up marketing teams. We have Swift, which is Swift with three Ws, .io, and that's for UK-based graphic designers to hang out in, upskill, feel part of a community. And lastly, we have LeadVault.online, which is the business card scanner app that helps you organise your business cards that you collect at networking.
That's amazing. So
you're trying to hit all of the domain styles there.
Did I do that?
Dot something, yeah, dot absolutely. Something. We don't want anything the same.
Anything with a dot in.
Amazing.
Yeah. Go to Ryan.
Well, that's my next company, Dot.
Dot.
Yeah, just Dot.
Dot, dot, oh, yeah.
Oh, it's absolutely brilliant. So what would you say about networking, Julie, in regards to how it's helped you?
I think it's a great way of just getting out and connecting with people. Obviously, I'm out there doing a couple of things, largely promoting the charity that I'm the CEO of. And it's you know, I've enjoyed both chamber events and synergy events, going to the question that you asked Tim Tom over there.
Do you do many one-to-ones? Because I know you said you've got a one-to-one with someone next week.
Yes,
do you
have. I'm starting to do much more of that now, but with myself, because as I say, I only work part-time as a CEO of the charity, and I also do fractional work as well. So it's like anything, but when you're working for a charity, you have to be really on point about the hours you use and how you utilise them. So I'll always connect with people on LinkedIn. If they email me, I'll respond back. But in terms of one-to-ones, I try to sort of be quite selective and specific about it. I don't want to take a meeting if it's not the right time for various things. But yeah, I do. I've got one with Jackie next week. Looking forward to seeing her. Did she find her phone? She lost her phone in the net.
No, she's lost everything. Of her wallets. No, she's had to stop all of her cards.
I was manning her stand for about 20 minutes or so. I hope I managed to get her some leads converted.
Those old school leads came, those skills that came back from the year.
So have you ever done an expo yourself for the charity?
No, we're going to be moving much more into having a couple of one exhibition we're looking to do this year, and we're also looking to do a couple of maybe networking events which revolve about the charity, but also give business people a chance to learn about us, but also network amongst themselves. Mm-hmm. Again, small resource, so we're very specific about what we do and where we spend our time and money, which is why, as I've said before, I just do two networking groups currently, which is Synergy and the Chamber.
Because expos can be quite expensive, can't they? By the time you've got everything for the backdrop.
All the collateral that goes around it.
Exactly. Yeah. It's just about sort of having to be very careful with the charity monies. I think very much to my any sort of advice I would give on networking is be consistent, turn up, be authentic, but also find the right room for you. There's a lot of great networking groups out there, but they may not always be the right ones for you. And I know the right ones for us with my time at the Chamber and Synergy. but also have a couple of trustees who go to other networking groups. It's about finding the right room for you.
And yeah, I mean, Brian Downton has been BNI member for years.
He goes there and also BBN. He's our chair and he also does BBN as well. Mm. So we're relatively well represented across the networking groups.
And I know that he does a ball every year, doesn't he? Is that November?
I think, actually, I'll have to get the date for that, but I think we were looking at a casino night in May.
Oh, casino night in May. And yes. Is he doing that at Dartford Football Club?
Or was it September? Is he cycling in May?
And it's, cycles in May and his event is at the end of the year.
His event might be middle of the year this year. It changes. I will let know because I'd like a shout out on the show at some point.
Yeah, and we could have maybe a couple of synergy tables there.
So that would be fun, but that's what we're doing. Brian is a great chair. Mm. He really gets out there. He does like Ironmans and ridiculous things, cycles to France and things.
He does.
Someone's got to do it.
Madness. And people keep looking at me and I'm like, yeah, you can sponsor me for a glass of wine if you like. But that's what I'm doing. Mind you, actually, we did go to the Synergy Do at Crescent Turner at Christmas. And my husband, there was some sort of, the auction going on and Matt just went mad, didn't he?
He did.
It's just like, oh, I'll do this.
He bought everything. I think Hugh spent all the money for the charity.
I think, you know, I raised money for our charity.
I know you just, did.
But actually, yeah, so it was fun.
We did two Christmas ones, one at the Crescent Turner and one at the Arena. Yeah. I have spoken to Backdrop Promotions, Tara, lovely Tara, about doing them potentially, but I don't really know if I want to.
Do another Christmas thing.
I think I would only do one. Mm-hmm. I don't think I'd split it, and I think I'd do it myself. Mm. So I'd say to charities, right, let's do it with the charities. So the charities are inviting, we're inviting, and it's one venue.
I think you should do that. And I think the charities, again, going back to collaboration, could take some of that work off your shoulders and work amongst ourselves to make it happen.
Mm. Yes. And I think
you are volunteering every other charity there.
Volunteering
Julie Stitchbury.
And the other 10 charities that are currently part of Synergy Do This. I have spoken to Julie Stitchbury and she would be up for doing something. And I met with Nancy the other week and are going over there. I'm sure as a group we could probably do a lot.
Well, I think if you do, I used to run casino nights for the dating agency. Mm. And to be honest, they were my best money spinners. Mm. Mm-hmm. Because what you do is you sell the money as people come in.
Yeah.
I don't even mean to do that, mate. Anyway, that's what we do. Mm. And
advice on how to do it, though.
Legal disclaimer. Yeah. Not anything Linda is saying currently. Thank you.
But it was really good as a money raising. Yeah. So for Linda. So. So I think it'd be really good for charities to do that.
Please note, the money will be going to the charities, not to Linda.
Not into Linda's wallet.
Exactly. But with that and backdrop promotions. I mean, Tara is brilliant because I met with Tara a few weeks ago and I think it would be great if the charities gave you the support, because obviously the more people we get there, the more monies could be raised. If it's split amongst a few of us, well, it's better to have something than nothing. Yep. It's like I say, £350 to put one of our children through a programme. So, we'd all be grateful for whatever comes out of it.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Yeah.
So if any of the charities are listening, I've just offered you your help.
Well, actually, I've got a meeting with Kent Wildlife Trust. Do you know Denise Brown?
No, I don't know. No.
So because we do two walks a month, you know, through Synergy.
And the
Moat Park one is just fab. You know, it really does. Well, the Whitstable one, I've been on that twice. Mm. Mind you, I've got blisters the second time.
Yeah, I took my dog on that. He wasn't very impressed.
But she's talking about actually being the charity for the walks, which makes total sense.
Absolutely, yes.
So that she would be the charity on the walks. Mm. And we might even be using their premises maybe for Sevenoaks, because they've got premises in Sevenoaks that might be ideal for networking. Yeah. So that would be really good.
It's always good when you can host an event inside the charity it's supporting, because people can get a proper feel for how that charity works and runs and what they're doing.
Yeah, it's just whether, I mean, I think that we'd be a bit disruptive with our little bell.
Oh, there's sometimes it wouldn't work, but it's always nice to get that sort of visit in and go, actually, this is what you're trying to help.
Yes, absolutely. Because Wisdom Hospice do it for business clubs,
they
don't they?
Yeah.
I know they do rugby clubs as well. Is there any others they do?
So charity-wise, you've got Hypo Hounds.
Yeah. Oh, Hypo Hounds,
yeah,
I do.
Hypo Hounds. Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, it's not run out of their venue. That one's run out of Edenwood Place, so Bluebell Hill.
Okay.
But yeah, Hypo Hounds is a good one. And there's a couple of others that I don't go to, so I couldn't tell you who the charities are.
It's funny, actually, because we haven't got a charity, and although we give it away free, we haven't got one in Ashford, although I think I'm speaking to someone about that as well. So Ashford is the only
community driving school at Medway.
They're at Medway, yes. Yeah. So they're a CIC. What's the difference between a CIC and a...
Well, one is you're registered with the Charity Commission. If you're a charity with the Charity Commission, it's a lot stricter in terms of rules and regulations, and there's not so much room for manoeuvre if you want to make changes and things like that. You also got more opportunity probably to get grants and trusts. Mm-hmm. But if you're a community interest group, you do have more manoeuvrability. There's pros and cons to both. Neither one's better than the other. It's just
what works for you.
Exactly.
And what you can
we do. Weren't a charity when we initially set up. We became a charity a few years ago. So a lot of people will go that route, but you have to consider what is best for you. Really. So
a lot of hoops to jump through to become a charity.
Exactly. Yeah, because I'm just, as I say, I do some sort of contract and fractional work as well. And I'm doing one with a lady who wants to set up a charity in Ashford to basically have sort of somewhere for where homeless people can go for food, but also introduce other events into it, like a barber, a hairdresser, and all that sort of things. And she's going down the charity route, whereas I'm working with a bit of pro bono work, mentoring actually, with a charity down in Ramsgate, and they're not a registered charity. They've gone down the community interest route.
It's funny, actually.
The one you mentioned in Ashford, there's a similar company in Medway.
Oh, really?
Doing similar, which is Thrift and Thrive.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll have to
they're starting to do something very similar.
Well, I'll have to do something like that, because then perhaps I can then connect up with the person who runs Thrift and Thrive to get some sort of idea.
I can make an introduction for you if you need
to. Is that Kaz?
Kaz is part of it. Yeah. It's Tracy that runs it.
Okay, if you could make a connection, because as I say, I'm just doing a little bit of this pro bono work. If Brian's listening, and it's outside of my holding on little house, but I do work only part time for you, Brian. But it's something I just want to help set up, because I sort of, you know, as I say, I do holding on, letting go. I also do paid contract work, but I also do like to give a little bit back to some charities that don't have the money to pay you.
One of the things I love, I mean, you can see the results of the work you do, and you can see, like, you know, when I'm happy with my website, I'm like, or when, you know, when Hayley Hickmont Morris does work for me and I read the letters she's written for me, I'm like, how she made it sound so amazing when I can't. And because she's a copywriter.
Copywriting is a skill unto its own.
It is. And you look at it and you see, but with some things you don't see. So with the children that you help, how do you know what they become, you know? And when you meet someone later, I mean, I've met people through Synergy that I matched to their husband. One lady, I matched her to her husband. She was on the show, and she brought in her 13-year-old daughter and told her she'd never be born if it wasn't for me.
There you go.
I mean, that's, you know, you don't see that very often, and you wouldn't see that, you know, and
years down the line.
You might bump into a child that said, you know.
Some of them do stay in touch with us. Actually, one of our trustees actually went through the program when she lost her mother.
Wow.
So she's been a trustee for quite a few years now. We do get people who sort of do stay in touch with us. But yeah, you're right. But you're there to help.
To take them on that part of their journey.
Take them on that path. And then, you know, if they return.
Send them back into the world.
Send them back into the world. I mean, if sometimes they return and help and do a bit of fundraising. But other than that, if they just go on and their lives are better as a result of having interaction with us, job's done.
Oh, well, that's fantastic. Thank you so much, the three of you. I'm sorry about the problems at the start.
No problem. It's all your fault, Linda.
I know.
Linda and her dodgy casino. More to come later in the Kent Messenger.
So,
hello.
The studio is now falling apart, in case you're wondering what that noise was.
Oh my goodness. I think we just have to go now.
Yeah. We're going to go. Adverts are coming. So thank you so much, everyone. I'll be with you in 2 weeks' time, and Jill will be with you next week. Thank you, guys. Bye.
See you later. Bye.